first of all, I have to tell you that with our new seating arrangement, I now get to sit next to Keith at school board meetings, so, and I can try to annoy him all through the meeting.
Well, I get 2 hours a week, so on 4 hours a week, so I know what it's like. So we do a little needling, have a little bit of fun, and I didn't know you had assigned seating. That's very interesting.
Yeah,
we do. Yes, we do have assigned seating.
And when the music stops, everybody needs to have a seat, right?
Right. And sometimes we don't have a seat. But it's fun sitting next to Keith. We had a great meeting. One of the neatest things about our meetings especially with our new superintendent, is, you know, we do business, we have announcements, we have discussions, but at the beginning of the meetings, we get to have a celebration of success and recognize a whole lot of people and then hear some really great stuff from our foundation director. So, it's not just business, but it's also kind of highlighting the great stuff that goes on in our schools. And one thing I wanted to talk about was our school foundation has scholarship applications available for students until April 1st. If people want to go online and take a look at those applications for scholarships, that's some money that people could get for college or post-secondary study, so people should be aware of that.
And who can sign up for that?
I think any of our students who are seeking a scholarship.
Excellent.
For study after high school.
One of the other things that came out of the meeting, Sue, was the announcement of where we would end the school year because of bad weather days. We only had two this year, and barring anything till the end of school, we've added 2 days to the school year, and it'll now end on May the 24th.
And do you pencil in that week? How does that work?
Yeah, when the calendar is created, there's some extra time built in between the end of the semester and commencement, so that if we have to add some days to the school calendar, we can. So those days were available. So May 23rd and May 24th will be snow makeup days. And then we'll end school after the 24th.
Well, it's a Monday and a Tuesday. So if there were no, you have a certain amount of days built in, and then you've gone over by two is essentially what you're saying.
Correct.
So if we would have had the hottest winter on history and didn't have any snow days,
we'd be out.
You'd be done on school the 20th?
Yep.
Or whenever that was?
With a Friday before the 23rd.
Now I know why people are upset at this calendar deal. Just go to school till the... Why would you start on August 3rd and end on May 20th? That doesn't make a bit of sense. But you're not here to be verbally accosted by me. But that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Go to school till the weekend of Memorial Day. That's not hard to figure out. My goodness.
No,
who wants to go on August 3rd? Go on August 10th and finish on the 29th. It's not. Well, if you have 10 snow days, well, then go. You get those days off.
However, Mike, back in the day, I remember when we kind of did that, and we didn't have any time built in at the end of the semester, and instead of having classes after commencement, we moved commencement. And oh my goodness, the language that I heard from people who were my friends, and that's understandable. You know, people fly in maybe for somebody's high school commencement.
Oh, right.
They'd already made their plane reservation, so this gives us that flexibility so that we don't have to change something.
I was kind of being a wise guy there, Sue, because people...
No, I know you were.
People have to understand that if you have... Because the Farmer's Almanac's a really nice guide, but it's not perfect. So if you have... Mm-hmm. Unbelievable snow, you can't do it that way. You have to have that flexibility. That's why it happens that way. So I want to make sure that people understand there is a reason that week is there. So you can't, and again, the buildings you have graduation, and if it's not at the school, if it's at Assembly Hall down the road, that's booked at certain times and not booked at certain times.
Right.
There's all kinds of stuff that goes on with that. That's not the case now. The graduations will be at the respective high schools. We know that. So I don't
want to
confuse
anybody. This year, because they're
there.
Still working on Assembly Hall. That's right.
They're at the respective high schools.
My understanding is that in Michigan, that a lot of places in Michigan don't set their commencement date until sometime late winter, early spring, so that they can accommodate. You know,
which
all
makes
of their
sense because snow is a larger part of their lives in Minnesota
exactly.
And other places like that. It's how the other half lives there. Keith,
we're speaking with Sue Wanzer, who is a member of the MCCSC School Board. And Sue, front page today's paper, Mary Keck has got the question mark story of the year for all of us, and that is state dumps ISTEP, but what's next? And it's interesting because the state has done this. It's a bold move. Nobody liked it. They got rid of it. But nobody seems to know what's next.
You're right. But I hope in these conversations, whoever makes up part of this panel, and I hope it is not just our elected state officials, I really, really hope, and we can all lobby the legislature to do this, mm-hmm. too, to put on some educational researchers, some testing experts, so that when they're talking about the test, first of all, they decide what the purpose is. If we're going to have a statewide standardized test, what is the purpose? And I was talking to Mark Stoops, Senator Stoops.
Right, who's quoted in the article today.
Right, and Mark is now the ranking minority member on the Senate Education Committee. So we have a friend on the Senate Education Committee who really gets this, who understands what testing should be about and that it shouldn't be a punitive tool.
Let me read Mark's quote because I think this is interesting and forwards it. He says, I think... And this is Senator Mark Stoops, Democrat. I think there's a real bipartisan feeling in the legislature that we've made a mistake in attempts at punitive assessments for teachers, and that this is also really doesn't give a solid indication of how well our students are doing. Now, he also goes on to say, and you've referenced it already, that what we don't need is a test that's designed by a Republican-based legislature. And that's what seems to be in the mix right now.
Right. And I'm going to remain hopeful, and I am going to urge legislators to move forward with this positively and move away from something like the ISTEP that we've had. We really, if we need to do a statewide test, I don't believe we do because we have teachers doing formative assessments all the time, which means they're determining what students know and what they still need to know and how to teach that. But if we do have to do a statewide standardized test, I'm going to remain hopeful that they'll get some experts in there to really figure out and come to an agreement of why we're doing this test and then how we do it.
There are two big issues, Sue. One is, okay, if you're getting rid of ISTEP testing, what are we going to do with the results we get this year? And number two,
right.
Can you possibly put that test together adequately and comprehensively enough that you can administer it beginning in the fall of 2017, which is the target date right now?
Well, exactly. And it's not just like we can pick up some test booklet from someplace else.
Right.
This has to align with the Indiana standards.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a lot of research done to it. But Keith, you asked a $100 question or a $1 million question.
$100 question.
Yeah, I'm not that rich.
$100.
Okay. What happens to the scores from the tests that are being taken right now?
Yeah.
What legally has to happen with those scores? Is there a legal binding tie to those scores to pay or evaluation, or is that something we just do?
But by the legislative standards, yes, it's used for teacher evaluation and pay. Yes.
So if they can ditch the tests, why can't they ditch the scores?
Well, right, and it's also used to grade schools, and this is what's used to determine a failing school and if the school is going to be taken over by the state.
So why don't you just have a year you don't have anything? It's a blank.
Well, in essence, we did that this year because they threw out the results from last year.
Yeah. So if they've done it once, why not do it again?
Yeah.
It's not hard to figure out.
Wes, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm sure we had some contractual arrangements that we had to go forward with this, but I'm with you.
Well, how about the contractual arrangements they screwed up?
Right. Well, I agree. And we don't have a last year's test score to compare this year's test scores with.
There you go.
So what is this year's test score going to tell us?
And you have a new thing next year that'll be a different orange and a different pineapple. So mm-hmm. what's hard to figure out about this? What are we spinning our wheels about? Not you.
Not me.
Just in general.
No,
What's hard about this?
Let me give you the cliche answer, Michael.
Okay.
Every state legislator went to school, so therefore they're an expert on education.
Sure.
So that's where it's all coming from, is it's government is doing it. We're from your government. We're here to help.
Okay.
And the cynical side of Sue Wanzer says there is more and more money for the state to take over schools and hire a contractor or vendor to
How many have they done, Sue? Have they done 200 of these? How many schools have they taken over? And how much money are they making?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's not a lot if you don't know.
It's been
my
a handful.
Point. Well, it's a handful. That's not swinging the paradigm in some other direction.
No.
Come on. That doesn't make – let's figure out what's best for let's figure out what the best thing is for education moving forward, not for testing.
Exactly.
Isn't there a difference in there?
And what is the best thing for kids? Mm-hmm. We want kids to learn. We want teachers to know what children have learned and what they need to learn and how to learn it. And I don't know that – well, we certainly haven't gotten that from the ISTEP, especially when we don't get ISTEP back for 9 or 10 months. So that hasn't really helped at all.
So another year of this shouldn't be really bothersome to anybody. There's just – who's making this plan to go forward to solve this? Who's making this plan to go forward to show here is the light at the end of the tunnel and how this is going to be better accomplishment for everybody?
Two questions there. The first one is, who's making the plan to go forward? That's the governor is leading this.
So the governor by himself.
Well, the governor is the one that's making the big appointments.
And the Republicans in the legislature. So I don't know how they're going to appoint people. Again, I don't know what kind of parameters, I don't know what kind of charge they're going to be given for this task. And again, I just hope that we get educational experts and educational researchers on that panel. And if people are concerned, I'd say call your local legislator or the governor's office and urge them to do this correctly.
And that's an interesting word. What does correctly mean? Because I think if it's just...
Good point.
Help me out there.
Do this in the best interest of children. How do we want to assess what children know and what they still need to know? And so I think let's look at what happens with kids. Let's not use it to grade schools because it really isn't measuring that. Let's not use it to grade teachers. Let's use it as an assessment to understand what kids know and what they still need to know and how to teach that. And I don't know that we need a standardized test for that.
If schools are going to be measured, how should they be measured? Opinion question. Their height?
By a whole lot of things. You know, we can use graduation rates.
Right.
We can use the kind of courses that are offered to kids, whether it's AP courses or language courses or art kinds of classes, all kinds of art.
Well, check up on the graduates and how they're doing now that they've finished college. Where did they go to college? Those kinds of things. What kinds of jobs did they get?
And Glass, you ask a perfect question. If we want to grade schools, well, let's talk about why we would want to grade schools and what that means to people. If that's really important, you know, if we're talking about whether your children are achieving and whether your school is successful, maybe that's where, you know,
the definition of success and achievement has to be defined, correct?
Right.
Because everybody's a winner, we know that. Everybody gets a trophy, we know that. But there has to be some point where you decide whether the education is being the child is being educated. I think that's the toughest point because I don't think any teacher is going to say, "Oh no, well those 13 of the 26 over there, they just don't get it, and I've got no chance." The person to me says they're going to say, "Oh, they're doing just fine." Well, how do we know if they're doing just fine?
And Mike, that's the perfect statement. Because if we're not going to punish teachers when children aren't learning in a certain way, then the teachers are free to say, these kids aren't getting it, so I'm going to go back and do everything I can to make sure they do learn. And our teachers are pretty good at making sure or wanting our children to achieve.
But, no, I think you're missing my point. My point is the child is not protected. The child is... If a teacher that's not a good teacher says everybody's doing great and there's nothing to measure that, the teacher's sliding by to get the teacher sliding by. And that's not a knock on teachers. My mother was a teacher. She's listening to this program right now. I'm not knocking teachers. But we know in every single faction of society, there are A players and there are F players, and there's a lot of people in the middle. How do you protect the children from not getting the education? That's what I want to know. Because if you don't test them, if you don't do all this, everybody that's sliding by and just collecting a check is going to say, my class is great. And if you don't measure, how do you know?
Well, one of the ways
and I don't
that we
have
do
an
that,
answer.
We have a really rigorous teacher and administrator evaluation with a very specific rubric that teachers and administrators have to meet. So we do an evaluation so that we know, you know,
we being the state, we being the MCCSC.
We being the MCCSC.
Okay.
So we know what teachers are sliding by, perhaps, and then we can release them.
Well, that's great that's happening. Is that a model that can be used at the state level to help other things out?
Yeah, because the state mandated a different kind of evaluation last year, and we were already doing some good evaluations, but this helped us refine it and get more at specific skills or specific behaviors that teachers need to have. So, that helped us refine it so that we can get a better measure of how our teachers and administrators are doing. So I guess you could say, well, what if the person evaluating is no good?
Well, I think that would stand out because I think everybody that was evaluated by that person would be curious of to that. I'm looking to protect the kids, right? Because if someone's sliding by, well, that's unfair to the child. The child cannot choose their education. They cannot choose whether they're taught properly or not. That's the thing
that
has to be focused on. Because like you've mentioned 1,000 times and Keith's mentioned 1,000 times, if they don't get educated at the earliest stages or whatever it is, it doesn't get any better as it goes on.
Well, and what you're pointing out is that not every child comes to school equally prepared for education.
I'm pointing out that the children are subjected to what they are taught and who they are taught by and have no choice in the matter. They need the best possible they can. And if you choose and say, well, our district is great because it's great on this, well, is that fair to the kids? Mm-hmm. And the kids can't protect themselves, and that's what I look at.
Good point.
I understand that. I understand that totally, Mike, but I don't think that an ISTEP test, a score in an ISTEP.
Oh, I specifically said so. I don't have a solution for it. And that's it's a lot of rhetoric on my end, but it's I think that has to be taken into consideration the most, and why ISTEP is the most is because, as you mentioned, and it's no secret, someone's pocket's getting fat from it, and if that's what education is about, if education these days is about out-of-state tuition, if education these days is about testing and book sales, well, you guys got a big problem. And I got a big problem because I got kids coming up through the system. And again, you're going to open a charter school, you're going to open another charter school, you're going to open this because people don't want to deal with this. People want their kids to get educated.
And I get it. And that's exactly why 5 years ago we hired the best superintendent that we could. And Superintendent DeMuth has made a lot of substantive changes in our school corporation, especially in terms of holding teachers accountable for what's happening in classes. So to me, that's the best way you can do it, is to have a great superintendent with a really good administration.
I don't disagree with that, when the state holds all the money, it has to go up another level.
Exactly.
There has to be another angle to all of that as
well. You're
right. Sue, great job as always. I appreciate you putting up with me every Thursday.
I love it. You challenge me, and I think you make people think.
Well, that's it. That's all I can do here, and hopefully you get a laugh in between at some point. Keith, stop laughing.
I do.
All right. We will talk with you next Thursday. Believe it or not, that will be the final day of March.
Wow.
And again, so remember, next Tuesday there is no meeting, even though it's the last Tuesday of the month. There were 5 Tuesdays in March, so that gets we're just pointing that out in advance. Great job as always, Sue. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Well, thank you. Go Hoosiers. Go